Not too long ago, I made a video where I discussed a certain archaeologist who was trying to silence me by, let's just say, less than scrupulous means, okay? Now, I did mention, and you know, I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I did tell him it's not cool, but I missed something. I missed the forest for the trees. This is not a one-off. This is something we see archaeologists do frequently. When they have their egos challenged by a critic, many archaeologists seem to think that it's okay to react in manners that are completely unethical. And I think most people would recognize them as unethical, but for some reason these guys don't. Now, it's happened a couple times in our community in just the last little bit, and that's not the only place that it happened. So I'm going to show this to my regular viewers so you can see just how kind of messed up and broad widespread this is. And I also want to let archaeologists see, man, this really isn't a proper tactic to apply. It looks kind of bad, looks kind of ugly. So let's discuss how some archaeologists like to silence their critics through unscrupulous means. Hi, my name is Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. Now, the most public example of this would probably be Graham Hancock being banned from filming in Egypt after him and Zahi Hawass had a public falling out.
Okay, so after inspiring probably tens of thousands of people to go to the pyramids like myself, you managed to get banned from Egypt?
Yes.
Is it a real full-time ban?
This is not clear to me, and this is when it happened, is that my Netflix series, Ancient Apocalypse, we wanted to film an episode in Egypt, which you would have thought the Egyptian authorities would welcome, but when they asked who is presenting the show, and we said that Graham Hancock is presenting the show.
They said no.
They said absolutely no way. Everything was much less sensitive until 2015, when I had the beginnings of a public debate with who is regarded as the leading Egyptian Egyptologist, Zahi Hawass. And unfortunately, in that debate, Zahi, it's actually on YouTube, bits of it, because there was a member of the audience present. Zahi massively lost his temper.
Don't talk to me, please. Go away from me. Shame on you. Why don't you say something to me? Wash. I don't know who did this. This man did bad things. I don't know who is dead. This man. And I'm going to court. I'm going to let this man know that this can be.
And you can't really say that Zahi is trying to protect the integrity of Egyptology or anything like that, because he has no problem with pyramidiots or New Agers coming and pumping their money into the Egyptian tourism industry thanks to the pyramids.
All they say is a big lie, it's imagination, it's a dream. Let them to live in dream. The people who talk about this, actually, some of them, they're doing it as business, and some of them are idiots. Every day, one email of people insulting me. They think that I hide all the evidence about lost civilization. But you have to know, if there is anything bad in Egypt, this New Age people, they come. They don't care.
So why exactly would Zahi Hawass want to ban Graham Hancock from filming there? I mean, Graham is like one of the people in the world most likely to draw in more pyramidiots, more New Agers. He's got no problem renting out the pyramid to other people to meditate in, so why can't Graham come and film in the place? Well, I'll let Graham explain what the problem is.
Ever since then, my relationship with him, which had been okay until 2015, has been extremely negative. Mm. And when the Egyptian government are approached for filming permission, which these days is done through the Tourism and Antiquities Permission, when they're approached for filming permission, Zahi's the guy they go to.
So Zahi Hawass banned Graham Hancock from filming in Egypt, not because he's opposed to the words that Graham says, but because Graham challenged his ego. Lots of people come in there and have the same kind of narrative that Graham does, and Zahi is happy to take their money all day long. But Graham somehow managed to get under his skin, and he paid for it.
That's the first line of defense against a critic or an alternative point of view.
Yes.
Is simply to deny them access to the site. And I've felt since that happened that I've had my left arm cut off.
Yeah.
Because Egypt has been very central and very important to my work.
Now, as you can see, this is pretty frustrating for Graham. And as most of you are aware, this isn't the only time that happened just during Ancient Apocalypse. He was also banned from filming at Serpent Mound. Now, the indigenous tribes blocked him there. And I'm not saying the tribes have no autonomy. Obviously, they have the ability to call these shots. But Little speculation here. I'm pretty certain that it was a handful of archaeologists that decided to contact the tribes and quote-unquote inform them of the narrative that Graham Hancock espouses and, you know, paint it in their own little light so they can make it all ugly and whatnot. Again, that's speculation there, but at any rate, the kind of things that the tribe said in those letters are the exact kind of things that we see from a handful of archaeologists, and they were saying that stuff a good 10 years before we see any of the tribal bodies saying it. So, again, speculation, but I'm of the opinion that archaeologists pressed that button too. That's not the only time we see things like this, though. And you have to wonder, why would they scorch the earth like this? What is such a big deal? Like, oh my God, so many Americans believe in Atlantis. What is the big deal about that? It's like they conflate it with other things. They conflate it with all other kinds of science denialism or whatever you want to say. But it's like, you have to understand, guys, archaeology has like a lot of speculation and personal stuff injected into it. You guess. And we all know that. So you don't get to just be like, this is the same as a freaking physicist. It's not even close to the same. Some of your data is hard. Some of it is speculative. Well, I've discussed this numerous times, so I'm not going to go into too much detail here, but I think it's very important. However, that doesn't stop them from safeguarding their narratives. As a matter of fact, that might be why they have their egos invested into these narratives. Because see the way they treat other people. For example, Jimmy Corsetti, now you could call him a firebrand if you like, right? He does piss some people off. But the way that they tried to shut down his stuff that he said about Göbekli Tepe is nothing short of disgusting.
And it turns out that the video I made where I raised questions involving the progress of excavations, or lack thereof, created a firestorm among the powers that be within Turkey, and it turns out that they are very upset. In fact, the director of excavations of Göbekli Tepe has called for me to be sanctioned, essentially banned from the site itself or potentially the entire country of Turkey. Now, let me start off by discussing the person who is advocating for me to be sanctioned. The director of excavations at Göbekli Tepe is a man by the name of Dr. Nekmi Karul, who is a high-level professor within Turkey and is the head of prehistory at Istanbul University. And as I've been told, he has strong political connections. In fact, he is the literal boss of dozens of archaeological excavations throughout Turkey.
And again, Jimmy does say things that are inflammatory, and I understand certain people don't like him. But a lot of people really like him. His opinions are very popular. So when he asks a question and he's met with, fuck you, you're not allowed to ever come here again, that plays right into the whole archaeologists hide data from the public narrative, first of all. When Jimmy says, I wonder why they do this kind of thing, you guys just throw gas on that fire and just do not care, which that part's pretty freaking hilarious.
Various members of the WEF have seemingly infiltrated positions that ultimately control literally the world's two oldest archaeological sites on Earth. And the million-dollar question is why? And just as importantly to ask, why would excavations of these two profoundly important ancient sites be deferred to future generations? Especially at Göbekli Tepe, where there are literally over 100 T-pillars that remain buried in the earth.
But the archaeologist that's targeting Jim, Nekmi Karul, it actually makes sense that he would go this far with something like this. I mean, look how he treats his own colleagues.
And by the way, he apparently has a hot temper, as he was sentenced to 5 months in prison for threatening to violently attack another archaeologist, saying that he will beat him severely. Yeah.
Now, as I mentioned, I too have been targeted by this sort of attempts to silence people. There's a video here if you care to see the whole thing, but in a nutshell, what happened was I criticized Flint Dibble for the mistruths that he spread to millions of people during the Joe Rogan debate, and he's decided that these criticisms amount to harassment. And therefore, he's threatened to report me to YouTube. Maybe he already did, I don't really know. But he's made a few threats like that, and basically just, I don't really think that the threats have any teeth because I haven't done anything that actually amounts to harassment. I do the same stuff to him that he does to Graham, except for on an even lighter scale. I pick specific things and I talk about them, and I don't just keep hammering at them over and over again unless it comes up once again like we are here. And anyway, fact of the matter is, He's one more archaeologist that gets emotional and uses underhanded means to silence critics or to attempt to silence their critics. As you'll see, this is becoming quite the theme. The next two examples that I'll give you, as a matter of fact, the first one is something that longtime viewers are probably aware of. Many of you won't be aware of. It's going to blow your mind. The one after that, it'll show you just how far outside of this whole mess they're willing to target people. They don't care what kind of person it is that they're targeting. The Clovis First debacle is pretty much the stereotypical example of archaeologists just being stubborn and not taking on board new evidence for a long time and getting pretty ugly about it. It wasn't just the slowness to take on new evidence that is criticized here, which you'll see that archaeologists kind of always try to boil it down to that, but the way that many archaeologists acted during this was downright deplorable. And that is an important thing worth mentioning. Very quickly, Clovis First is the theory that humans first arrived in the Americas around 20,000 years ago via the Bering Land Bridge, when sites started to show up that were pushing the dates back to 30,000 years or so. These were met with extreme opposition from the scientists who believed that this was impossible because Clovis First was the only narrative they would accept. They had their egos invested into it, you could probably guess. A few careers were kind of curtailed. Some would say ruined, some would say damaged, others would say nothing happened at all. At the end of the day, a man named Tom Dillahay was at the site Monteverde, and this site, it was basically the watershed moment. It was when some scientists, some archaeologists went, Dillahay presented them with some evidence, and they finally were like, well, shit, okay, we ain't gonna win this one. Now, Monteverde was down in Chile, and Tom Dillahay, along the way, boy, oh boy, did he face some BS.
Some of the North American colleagues were very difficult to deal with, and I think at times presenting a very unhealthy atmosphere, cutting us off before we could present the data at meetings, not talking with us about it, refusing to even look at the data, this sort of thing. And plus, politically, from time to time, there were some difficult moments. At my home institution later on when I left Chile, a letter was sent to a dean with anonymous signatures of about 24, 25 people saying this guy doesn't even have a PhD, a lie, of course. You should fire him from the university for what he's doing and so on. And another colleague who sent a letter to the newspaper in Chile, one of the major newspapers, saying that Monteverde was creation of the CIA to implant me down there. And, you know, that puts you and your family in a dangerous situation in a country like that at that time. So there were several other unpleasant things. So the whole sociology of the non-scientific part of that enterprise was disturbing at times and made me reveal that there's a small, not a majority, but a minority of people who will do anything in their power to defend their paradigm.
Now, for those unaware, Pinochet was a dictator, the kind that disappeared people he perceived as a threat. So when Dillahay's colleague contacted them down there in Chile and said, hey, this guy's CIA, they were trying to get him potentially offed and his family just so that they could safeguard a narrative about rocks and sticks and bones in the ground? No, man, it's because of their ego, because they have a personal investment into this and they're willing to do whatever it takes to defend that to the point of doing some really horrible crap, right? And I think we could all agree that that's just messed up. But then there's another example that's just, it's not nearly as messed up. But it's weird in the regards of who it targets, because you guys probably know Ancient Architects, a channel ran by Matt Sibson. You know, he doesn't do Atlantis or ancient high technology or any woo. He just basically like does cutting edge, up-to-date reports on news about ancient sites, like ancient whatnots, right? Ancient stuff that's cool. So you'll find a lot of archaeology on his webpage, on his YouTube channel, and it's never like really terribly outside the realms of what archaeologists would agree with. However, he does sometimes criticize specific archaeologists for very specific things, and this is what got him into trouble. In January of this year, Matt uploaded a video that he since privated, in which he discussed the intention of archaeologists to resurface Menkaure's pyramid, which is the smallest of the three big pyramids on the Giza Plateau. The intention was to replace the facing stones that were originally supposed to have been on it thousands of years ago. Now, Matt was very critical of this. He pointed out that this was not a very good idea, and he was the first person to bring this to the English-speaking world. I forget if it was a Japanese or an Egyptian news site that he found it on, but he found it on a foreign site and brought it to the English-speaking world, and it caused quite an outcry. A lot of people spoke out about how messed up this was. This was something they did not want to see happen. And one of the people that was involved, archaeologist Dr. Sakuji Yoshimura, he was not happy with this, it seems. He was one of the main people who had their names on it. Now, he didn't say anything to Matt at the time. And basically, by that, I made a video on it just a couple days after Matt did. And by the time I uploaded my video, it was already almost over. Just like the next day, they were like, okay, yeah, problem solved. We're not going to do this anymore. Too many people are pissed off about it. But that seems to have rubbed Dr. Yoshimura the wrong way, because Matt reported on some finds of his in the near future, just some mundane cool stuff, right? It's some unknown stuff that was found, some unknown chambers that were found near the base of Menkaure's pyramid. I'll let Matt explain what happened.
3 months ago, the Ancient Architects channel received a copyright strike from archaeologist Dr. Sakuji Yoshimura for a video titled Giza Underground Anomaly Discovered Next to the Great Pyramid. Obviously, I was a bit shocked, because I believed I'd used everything within the fair use parameters. Everything was used in the correct context, it was just a video promoting a new discovery, and I provided all the source links in the description. Dr. Yoshimura said I did two things that were wrong. Number one, I used some short video clips and also a couple of stills from his Instagram page, most of which had been up and were public for weeks before I made the video. Number two, I used images and diagrams from a paper that was published and it was already in the public domain. The same images were being used by the world's media, but he said, quote, "The copyright notice in this thesis prohibits commercial use and modification of the copyrighted work." End quote.
Now, Matt is very careful to separate these two events. He doesn't claim that Dr. Yoshimura abused the copyright system in order to take his video down out of anger because of the shitstorm that Matt started talking about the Menkaure's pyramid refacing debacle. But to me, it seems quite clear that that's what it is, because nothing in Matt's other video was bad or mean or any of it. It was just like, hey, check it out. Look what this guy found. And he just shows some clips and shows some images, and that's all there is to it. Now, to be fair, in Japan, there is no fair use. So it's possible that Dr. Yoshimura just doesn't understand that this is, but I find that kind of hard to believe. Let's be honest. I mean, the man's an educated dude, right? He knew that this was a slap. And it again, Matt's coverage was fair and balanced. It wasn't like he was being critical of the man at all. But he had been critical of the man. And the man got his feet burnt by it. So I'm of the opinion that this is still the same kind of thing. And even if it's not, the fact of the matter is Dr. Yoshimura is coming after him with copyright strikes instead of just emailing him, which I am quite certain. I know Matt well enough to know that I'm quite certain he would say, dude, okay, if you want me to take the video down, bro, I'll take it down. No problem. I don't want to fight with you about this shit. But he didn't. He just abuses the copyright system. Just does things that most of us would recognize as underhanded and just shitty. Emotional to protect his ego. That last part, speculation on my part. It's not necessarily factual. Disclaimers abound. This type of behavior is just unacceptable, period. Threatening to turn people in for harassment when they're not harassing you. Abusing YouTube's copyright system. Banning people from filming places when you'll let anybody else with the same thinking that they have show up there and film to their heart's content. Or, God forbid, telling dictators that this person is a spy. All of these things are pretty deplorable, although, of course, one of these is a little worse than the rest. But the bottom line is, I think we all recognize that these are the actions of people that are like, socially, there's something not, the rest of us get this is BS, okay? Most people understand this is not how you handle this stuff. So I don't think the thing to do here is to like try to grill these people over it, because they don't get it. They feel like they are in the right. So in my opinion, the best way to handle this is just to spread the word across the internet at large. Just let social media figure out that archaeologists like to do this kind of crap. Even recently, just targeting in the last little bit, targeting three people with this kind of stuff in our community just because they feel offended. I think this is something that we should get the word out about. So, like, you can share my video. You can share any of the videos where any of the other people talked about their personal experiences, too. The links are all in the description. And get the word out about this stuff. Go to your freaking commentary YouTubers and hang out in their freaking live streams if you're up to that sort of thing or down to do it. And post the links to the stuff there. Let them know what's going on. Tell them the story. Because this is the kind of thing that I know certain people would cover, and it is the kind of thing that apparently they kind of, it needs covered. These guys need to understand that this is not the kind of behavior that's acceptable. Because if we don't stop them, if we don't push back on this kind of stuff, they will silence as many people as they can, one person at a time, one BS claim at a time, one little fucked up threat at a time.